Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2 tonight. We're continuing with this series, How to Judge Biblically. I hope you realize that I feel a great intensity, and I have done for many decades, concerning this issue of how to judge biblically. Not just how to judge, but how to judge biblically, and how to judge by the Holy Spirit of God, to be taught by the Spirit of God on how to judge biblically. This is a passion with me, it's a burden with me, and I really believe in all my travels and all my experiences, very few know how to judge biblically. Or those who know how to, they know what the Bible teaches, they don't do it. Now, that's a very big statement I just made. It is a massive statement, because I'm not talking about the carnal church down the road. I'm not talking about the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the born-again, evangelical, so-called Spirit-filled church. Those who say they know the Word of God. It's them that I'm talking about. Most people either don't know how to judge, they're ignorant, although they have a Bible in their hands. Or when they do know, they don't do it. Now we want to correct that. And saints of God, if we are to be a mature body of believers here, this is a vital issue. Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Reading from verse 9, and notice how Paul starts this. He starts by quoting or referring to the Word of God. That is a man of God. He says, it is written, as it is written. He's always keeping his teaching within the boundaries of the Bible. Now notice what he says, but as it is written, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, and notice this, he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Then in chapter 3, we shouldn't divide these chapters. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Let's pray. Father, we just come unto you even this night again. Lord God, we gather unto Jesus Christ. He's the only center. Lord God, he's the only attraction in this place tonight. It's Christ that we love. It's Christ who died for us. It's Christ who bled and redeemed us at Calvary. Lord God, what a wonderful salvation. And my God, we do pray for that teaching of the Holy Spirit. My God, we need an instruction of the Holy Ghost. We don't want to be carnal babes, nor God, we don't want those that judge ministry, nor God to judge preaching, or judge ourselves and others, nor God as carnal, Lord God, by the soulish realm. But my God, we want to be so taught and matured by the Holy Spirit that we have the ability, we have the maturity, nor God, we have all the faculties to be able to judge all things righteously, nor God, not with our eye, but oh God, by the Spirit of God, according to your word, in maturity. And my God, we want this church even to come onto a real depth of maturity, nor God, where we're so taught by the Holy Spirit that we know how to weigh the scriptures, my God, how to test and to even, nor God, bring the fullness of your revelation together, and Lord God, that by that means of knowing your word, we will be able to accurately judge all things, not according to our mind or our thinking or our soulish emotions and feelings, but oh God, that we'll be able to judge by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. My God, I'm asking that you breathe on your Word tonight. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. My God, your Spirit was sent to lead us into all truth. You said when he comes, he will be the Spirit of truth unto us. My God, we're tired and weary of all the games of religion, Lord God, that has swept your church. We're praying, we're longing in these days that your Holy Spirit is going to sweep your church, Lord God, and bring them back to truth, that you're going to teach them again the written scriptures. That's the revival we're looking for. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. God bless you tonight as we come around the word. I really mean that. Blessed is the man who readeth. Blessed is the man who understandeth the word of God. You may not understand everything, but even in the reading of God's word, there is a great blessing. We dealt with last week that whole exercising of our senses in order to discern both good and evil. We saw last night that it's a state of maturity that we grow into the place of being able to judge. You aren't born with all the faculties of knowing. You aren't born in a state of maturity. You grow as you walk with Christ. And if you're growing in Christ, you're actually growing in your ability to judge righteous judgment. And this ability to judge according to the scriptures is a mark of maturity. You show me a Christian who doesn't know how to judge, or judges wrongly, or judges carnally, or judges in a way that doesn't line up with scripture. I'll show you a babe in Christ at best. I'll show you a carnal believer or an immature believer. But show me someone who has a depth of grasp in what the Bible says and knows how to judge according to the Bible, I'll show you somebody who's spiritually mature. This is what the Bible speaks of all through. Now notice this scripture, this one scripture, verse 15. And he says, but he that is spiritual judges all things. And that's an important scripture with us dealing with how to judge. My message tonight is the spiritual man. The spiritual man, because the spiritual man has everything to do with judgment. Here is Paul saying here that the spiritual judgeth all things, or the spiritual man judges all things. Now, what does that mean? What does he mean by spiritual? What does he mean by judging all things? We could rephrase or explain this verse in this way, but the spiritual man judges all things truly. The spiritual man, or the man who has become mature in Christ, or who has grown in Christ, or who is no longer a babe in Christ, actually has the ability to know how to judge all things. So this spiritual man judges all things. That's what the Bible says. He has the ability to judge all things. He has the maturity to judge all things. Or he has the spirituality to judge all things. I wouldn't ask a young boy to pick me a car that I'm going to drive for the next few years. I wouldn't do it. He'll look at it and say, I like the color. That is his basis of judgment. Now, he makes a judgment. And it's in his own eyes, it's a very good judgment. I like red cars. I've always wanted a red car, Daddy. Why don't we buy a red car? He doesn't think of the price. He doesn't think of its ability. He doesn't think of its reliability. He has made a judgment from his age. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to tell a kid off who says, I want you to buy a nice red car. That is a normal, natural judgment for a child. But when you come to an adult, when you're a grown adult or a parent, and you're buying a car because you like a nice red shiny car, or it looks sporty, I tell you, you're manifesting immaturity. And I tell you, when you get out on that road, you better have known what you were doing in that judgment. We're dealing with real things here. And the Bible is very clear that he that is spiritual, if you can find a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, I mean someone who's mature in Christ, if you actually find someone like that, you will find within them the maturity, the ability, the knowledge, the experience to know how to judge all things. That's a great mark of them. And the thing is, this is one of the tests of spiritual maturity. Does this person, or do you, or do I, have that maturity to know how to judge things? Not according to the appearance. And we theologically sit in this room, all of us sitting here, and we say, oh yes, I know the scriptures. Oh yes, I can quote them to you. I can tell you how to judge. But do you do it? That's the test. It's not that you know the facts, it's whether you live this out. When the next trial comes, when the next situation, do you actually live this out, or is it only a theory in your brain? That's how we know where you are spiritually. And if you find a spiritually mature man, he does know how to judge. And if you find someone who has that real, genuine ability to know how to weigh things accurately, not according to their flesh or their prejudice or their experience or their background or anything like that, but they accurately know how to do it. You've got a mature man and woman in your hands. That is the mark of spirituality. Now we are dealing tonight with the spiritual man, or this man who has matured to a place where he has all the faculties to be able to judge everything accurately, not making a mistake. That's it. Well, who is this spiritual man? He's talking about a believer. And this means that not every Christian is a spiritual man. Even every knowledgeable Christian or a Christian with experience is called a spiritual man. The Bible doesn't say everybody is a spiritual man. The Bible speaks about babes. They are not spiritual men. It talks about believers who haven't grown to maturity. They are not spiritual. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:37, and Paul writes, and he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual. Now he's defining two people here in the church. Those who are prophets and those who are spiritual. Everybody isn't a prophet. Everybody isn't spiritual. Or they're not spiritually mature. You don't get that in your home, do you? Everybody in the home. Your child might tell you, I am spiritually mature, but you may know better. Everybody in that home doesn't have the ability to make all the decisions or to carry all the responsibilities. A day will come when they have to leave the nest. They'll be able then to make all the decisions for themselves. But at this time, they don't know how to order a house. They don't know how to win a wage. They don't know how to do all of these things. But Paul here is speaking about two people, and notice what he says about them. Let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So how do you know a true prophet? He will acknowledge that what Paul is writing about, the gifts of the Spirit, are commandments. They're not debatable. It's not discussion. These are commandments. And that all the nine gifts of the Spirit are governed by the written word. Nobody operating in the true gifts of the Holy Spirit will deny what the Word of God says. If you ever meet someone and they say, I'm operating prophecy, or I'm operating a word of knowledge, and you test it with the Word and say, but the Bible says... And you'll hear people out there in the church say, I don't care, I know this is the Holy Spirit. That's very dangerous. That is not a spiritual man, that is not a spiritual woman. That isn't saints of God. But here's Paul writing, and he says, you will know a truly spiritual man or a spiritual woman because they'll acknowledge that everything that I write unto you or that's written in the Bible are the commandments of God. It's not man, it's not Paul, it's not John. And this is a mark of spirituality. If you find any other opinion, at best they're babes. Any man tells you, I'm operating in the Holy Ghost and you can't question me. They're babes. They're carnal. And what Paul deals with in these verses that we have just read, he is actually comparing the spiritual man with the soulish man. He is comparing two things here, and they're radically different. A spiritual Christian to a soulish Christian. They're both Christians, they're both in Christ, but they are radically different. And we see in these verses that we've read the teaching of the Holy Spirit, because this is what makes the difference between a spiritual man and a soulish man. Between a Christian that lives by their soul realm and a Christian who lives by the Spirit. Or a Christian who judges by the Spirit and a Christian who judges by the soul. And this is what this chapter divides here. You have Christians in the church. Everybody judges. Even the ones who say don't judge and nobody's meant to judge, they do judge, because as soon as I judge, they judge me. So everybody in the church judges. Everyone does. But there's those in the church who judge spiritually and those who judge by the soul. It's radically different. Now what sets them apart? What makes a difference? What makes someone spiritual in their judgment? It's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. A man or a woman who's taught of the Holy Spirit will come to a state of spirituality. If you're truly taught how to judge by the Holy Spirit, you are going to judge spiritually. If you are judging carnally, that shows me you are not being taught of the Holy Spirit. Or at least you haven't heard what the Holy Spirit's saying in that area. If you're still judging by your eye, by your feelings, by your emotions, and you're judging by the outward, you're judging motives of heart, you haven't been taught, you haven't heard what the Holy Spirit's saying in the Bible about how to judge righteous judgment. You haven't heard. You can't just sit on Wednesday nights and say, I've heard the teaching. That is not the teaching of the Holy Spirit. He uses this means, but the real teaching of the Holy Spirit is that you begin to judge spiritually. You're actually putting this into operation. And saints, as we said last week, this doesn't happen in a day, or in a month, or even in a year, or even in a decade. Saints, I am still growing in this. I am growing in this. I am learning. But I want to assure you, I am learning. And I am changing and I am growing. I'm not staying where I am. I'm not where I was a year ago. And I tell you, these messages have enlarged me. I believed these things before, but this has enlarged me. It's helped me. It's focused me. It's challenged me. Keith, be careful how you operate in judgment. And this is what we're dealing with here. The real mark of someone who judges spiritually, or who spiritually has the ability to judge all things accurately, that person has been taught by the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 13. And there's three things put together here in this verse. First of all, it says, Paul's talking here, the things also we speak. So Paul's saying the actual things that we are speaking, we the apostles, we're preaching, we're speaking, we're ministering. We the preachers, the ministry, we are speaking these things. And the secondly, he mentions which the Holy Ghost teaches. And he puts these two things together. Paul preaching and teaching, and the Holy Ghost teaching. He puts them together, but he puts a third thing together. He says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So these three things go together. This is how the Holy Spirit teaches you. And you need to know this if you're going to grow. It's not enough that Paul teaches, but the Holy Ghost has to teach. And more than that, there has to be a comparing of spiritual things with spiritual. When these three things come together, you're going to be taught. You're going to grow in spirituality and in your knowledge and ability of knowing how to be taught. Now notice these three things, they're synonymous. Paul preaching, the Holy Spirit teaching, and you comparing spiritual thing with spiritual thing. They're talking about the same thing here. Different aspects, but they're talking about one thing. They're actually talking about how God trains you to be spiritually mature in judgment. You're not going to stay as a babe. And in John 14:26, we are told concerning the Holy Spirit, he shall teach you all things, or about all things, or in every aspect of life. He shall teach you. Who is the teacher? The Holy Ghost. Who wants to educate us spiritually? It's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want to just give you a feeling. People said, did you feel the Holy Ghost? That tingling feeling up and down my spine. Oh, look at my freckles. I've had Christians say, look at my freckles. Do you feel his presence? Oh, right. So the Holy Ghost makes your freckles stand on end. He gives you tingly feelings. I feel his presence here. All of that, the Bible doesn't say any of that is the Holy Spirit or the teaching of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he shall teach you. That's how you know the real mark of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How do I know he's in this room tonight? Do I feel him? Do I see him? How do I discern him? He shall teach you. When he comes, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things or about all things and bring all things back to your remembrance. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me this, and the Holy Spirit told me that, and the Holy Spirit told me this. No, he'll bring all things back to your remembrance. What, where I left something and forgot where I put it? No. It's talking about, and I know he can do that. He sure can. But it's talking about the Word of God. He, the Holy Spirit, will bring all things back to your remembrance. Can something be brought back to your remembrance that you didn't know? No. You have at least got to read the Word. If you're not reading the Word, he can't bring it back to your mind. You've got to be in the Word of God. And as you're in the Word of God, you may forget it. That's what it says here. Brings things back to your mind. In other words, you've forgotten them. Or they've faded. Or they're not the forefront of your mind. He brings it back to your mind at the right time. And I've experienced this. Scriptures I've forgotten. And they've come back with the power when I needed them. Now, who was it who done that? It was the Holy Spirit. Now, I had to put it in there for it to be brought back to me. He doesn't bring it out of nothing. He brings it out of the resource. And when you meditate in the scripture, you bring it back at the right time. It also says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, he's going to guide me to the right partner in life. Oh, he's going to guide me down the road. He's going to tell me whether to go left or right at the door. No, he's going to guide you into truth. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is preeminently. Of course he can tell you what way to go at the door. But that isn't preeminently his ministry. His preeminent ministry is to lead you into truth. And you need to rely on him to lead you into truth. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's in this church. To lead us into all truth. If we never learn, or we never learn the Word of God, or we're not going deeper in the truth of God, the Holy Spirit isn't here. If he's not convicting you and urging you and creating a desire to get into the Word of God, you need to be asking yourself why there's something in you resisting that. Because the Holy Spirit will always guide you. He's always prodding you. He's always urging you into the Word of God. Notice in chapter 17:8, and this is Christ praying to the Father. And he says, I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Notice words. Actual words. Christ says, you have actually given words to them. One of the great marker Christians is words have been given unto them. What words? The words of Scripture. The words the Holy Spirit's leading you into. So there's words. The Bible is made up of words and they have been given unto you. This is a mark of a real Christian. That's why Christians who have a low view of Scripture, there's something wrong with them. There's something deficient in them. They either haven't been taught right, or they haven't been born right, or else they're so filled with carnality they've never grown. But the real Holy Spirit is wanting to give you the words of God. Now notice this that we have just read here. Concerning comparing spiritual things, because this is how the Holy Spirit teaches you. This is how the Word of God is given to you. How are you taught by the Holy Spirit? Well, it's going to be the preacher in the pulpit, partially. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come to me at home and he's just going to teach me, partially. But there's a third part of this, and you're very involved in this. And that's why you can never blame the Spirit of God or the preacher if you don't grow, or you're not maturing, or you're not becoming discerning. There's a third part, and notice this. It says comparing spiritual thing with spiritual. And this word comparing means to judge of one thing in connection with another. So you're holding different things here and you're comparing them. But it doesn't only mean that. It means to combine them or collate them or set them in an order into an organized fashion. Now what are these spiritual things? They are the words of God. They are the scriptures. These are the spiritual things. Spiritual men mature into spirituality by receiving of spiritual things. What are they? The words of eternal life. It's the word of God. And here's Paul writing, and he wants us to move from being carnal or soulish to being spiritual. And he says the way you do it and grow is to judge these things. You're comparing scripture. Do you realize you're meant to judge scripture? You don't sit in judgment of what the Bible says, but you're meant to weigh it up. Now where all this goes wrong amongst Christians is where they take a verse out of context. Recently in our midst, this has been a topic of conversation about binding and loosing. And you hear all across the charismatic world about binding demons and releasing a good spirit. You hear it everywhere. I want to tell you, binding and loosing has nothing to do with demons whatsoever. And the Bible teaches that. But what they have done is taken a scripture out. They don't even read the verse in its context. They don't read the verses before and after. They have taken it out of its context and they're binding demons and releasing other things. It's nothing to do with demons or an atmosphere. In Matthew chapter 16, binding and loosing has to do with the keys of the kingdom and preaching God's word, opening up God's word to those who need to hear it. It's exactly got to do with that. That is binding and loosing. It's about the ministry of the word. Secondly, in Matthew 18, because there's the only two places that talk about binding and loosing. Matthew 18, it is about church discipline. And if someone is in sin in the church, putting them out of the church, that is binding and loosing. But what has happened? The church of our generation, I mean the mega ministries, I mean every charismatic church you go to, every preacher who comes down the road, they talk about I bound and I released. Sorry, you don't have the authority of scripture. You see, that's what I'm saying. There's a scripture taken out of context. That's not spiritual. A spiritual man compares scripture with scripture. He would know these scriptures. A man isn't spiritual because he says, I sense there's a demon here and I'm going to bind him. And I'm going to release some prayer, some other spirit in this room. That isn't spiritual. That is actually carnal. It shows utter ignorance. That man or that woman is not spiritual. Or they're not operating spiritual. If they were spiritual, I tell you, the Holy Ghost would have taught them what real binding and loosing is. And all they have to do is read the Bible. Don't they? The real Holy Spirit would have led them into all truth and taught them what it meant. He leads you and guides you into the Bible. Not feelings and emotions out there. And this is what I'm saying. Most of the Christianity of this day is soulish and they think it's spiritual. They think they're spiritual, but they're operating by the soul realm. And as they operate by the soul, they think they're spiritual, so they're proud now. And they're arrogant. And they're not within the scripture. Yet this is marks most of the movement of this day. I'm led of the Spirit. I feel His feelings. He is here. Well, why isn't He dealing with your sin? Many's a man's told me he's led of the Spirit. Why isn't the Holy Spirit dealing with your sin? Because if He was working on you, if He allows you to feel His presence, He'll deal with your sin. Why is it you can feel His presence and yet He doesn't deal with your heart? Or that one issue that the Bible talks about? This is the Holy Spirit thing. Not only scriptures out of context, but favorite. Some Christians never grow because all they read is the Gospel of John, the Psalms and the Proverbs. That's all they ever read. They never read Malachi, or if they do, they'll read it once in 40 years, once in a lifetime. They don't see any profit in it. But there's another more sinister angle, is the twisting of scripture. There are those in the church, and they, because of their soul realm or their carnality, they twist the scripture. It's no longer the Holy Spirit teaching them. They take the word of God, they twist it, and they proclaim that in the church. That's dangerous, saints. That is very harmful to the body of Christ. Notice that this teaching of the Holy Spirit in these verses, he contrasts it with another spirit. In verse 12, he speaks about the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? He actually explains in verse 13, he says, the words which man's wisdom teacheth. What is man's wisdom? Is it in the church? Yes, those who take the scripture out of context. Touch not God's anointed. That means you can't judge apostles and prophets. That's what they teach. Don't touch, don't speak against the big anointed ministry. No, in context it means you can't kill the guy. Okay, so it's settled. I'm not going to kill any of them. Read the context and you get the understanding. What is the teaching? What is the teaching of man's wisdom? It lacks the spirit of God's wisdom. It's not in context. It's not the fullness of scripture. It's not a weighing of scripture together. It takes time to weigh the scriptures. Oh, but I opened the Bible, put my finger there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Well, if you want to be a babe, and I believe God can do that and has done that. But if you want to stay there, you'll be a babe all your days. You'll never grow. Show me someone who's diligently reading the scriptures faithfully. I don't feel anything this morning. I don't have goosebumps, but I'm just reading. I'm being faithful. Lord, feed me. Lord, build your truth into me. I know in reading this, I don't feel anything spectacular this morning, but I know he can bring everything back to my remembrance. I might forget it. Probably will by tomorrow, but he will bring it back to my remembrance. You see, man's wisdom is very different than the Holy Spirit's teaching. And this is the spirit of the world. This is what he's comparing, the teaching of the Holy Spirit to the teaching of the world. And there's a worldly spirit in the church of our day. And it's man's wisdom. It sounds eloquent. It sounds very wise. It sounds very profound. But it's against scripture. It's not within the boundaries of scripture. And Paul compares these two things. And if you stay with that realm of wisdom, you will never grow spiritually, saints of God. Never. Now notice here in verse 14, what Paul says. He says, but the natural man. He's speaking about the natural man here. And he contrasts the natural man with the spiritual man. The spiritual man is a mature man of God who knows how to judge all things. But look at this natural man. This word natural. I won't try to pronounce the Greek, but it's the Greek word where we get psyche from. It's the word psyche we think of the soul realm, the emotions. That realm of man, that is the psyche of man. And he talks about the natural man. And it literally means the soulish man, or a man who lives by the five senses. You can also call him a sensual man. So what is a sensual man? He's a natural man. He actually lives by the five senses. What he sees, what he hears, what he feels, what he smells. He is living by that. All of that dictates how he lives his life. That is a natural man, living by the five senses of the physical body. So the soulish man, or the man who lives in the soul realm, actually relies on the body very heavily. And hear me again, most of the church of our day is soulish. It lives by the five senses. It judges by the eye. Oh, but I saw, but I heard. By the outward. It's carnal, soulless judgment. It's not spiritual. And here Paul is talking about the soulish man. It literally is talking about that realm that relates to the natural or the visible. Or we could call it the carnal. Another way to say this verse is the soulish man rejects the teaching of God's Spirit. When we find someone who's rejecting the teaching of God's Spirit, the Bible teaching, biblical teaching, he rejects what the Bible says. At best, he is a soulish man. But really, this natural man, it's actually talking about an unbeliever. Somebody who isn't born again. All they know to do is live by the five senses. All of us were like that one day, weren't we? There was a time before we got born again. We were soulless. That's all you had. Your spirit was dead. You were in darkness. Your spirit was absolutely dead to God. And yet there's people out there, there's natural men or soulish men. And hear me, they actually delve into all manners of occultic things. And the devil deceives them that they're spiritual, that they are having spiritual experiences. They're seeing things, feeling things, experiencing things. I tell you, that isn't the spiritual realm, that is a soulish realm. They are locked into a natural realm, but the devil has deceived them that they are very spiritual. We are having spiritual experiences. No, you're having sensual experiences. You're living by a soulish realm. You can be moved around by the realm of emotions. Now notice what he says about this natural man. He says that he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, or he rejects the teaching of God's Spirit. That's the mark of the natural man. That teaching that the Holy Spirit brings from the Word of God, the natural man rejects it. He cannot accept it. He will not receive it. Have you ever talked to a natural man about the things of God? They cannot receive it. Very often they'll say, I don't even know what you're talking about. You're living on another planet. You're not living in the same realm as me. Thank God I'm not. That natural man cannot understand spiritual things. He cannot receive them. He rejects the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And this is the mark of the soulish realm. It rejects the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? If they received the teaching of the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be social, soulish. They wouldn't be soulish or dominated by the soul realm. He goes further. He says, for they, that is the teachings of the Holy Spirit, are foolishness to him. It means to be silly or absurd. You see, they don't make sense to him. They're not practical or they're not applicable. I met people in the church and they said, well, the Bible's not practical. So-called Christians, you see, they're so soulish, are living so by the soul realm, that they say, well, the teaching of the Bible about marriage, it's not practical. Yet, yes, we know it's God's word, we'd never deny that, but it's not realistic, it can't be lived. The demand for holiness in the Bible, it can't really be lived. We're just sinners. None of us is perfect. Nobody can really live like that. But yes, it's in the Bible. Yes, it's idealistic. Yes, we look for it and we pray for it. But it's not real. You can't live like this day by day and week by week. That shows me that that person is dominated by the soul realm. Absolutely. Because those who think the teaching of the Bible is foolish are soulish. Show me any Christian or any preacher who says, no, that's not real, that's silly, that's impractical. They are actually sensual. They're living by the five senses. They're not living by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. They're not being educated by the Holy Spirit. They are soulish. They're not living through their spirit, they're living through their soul. And there's a big divide there. He goes further, he says, neither can they know them. A soulish man or a carnal man can never know the things or the teaching of the Holy Spirit. This stops the Holy Spirit teaching him. It's impossible to have intimate personal knowledge from the Holy Ghost whenever a man is only natural, only soulish. The Holy Spirit doesn't teach you through the soul realm, through your eyes, your physical eyes, your ears, your smell, your taste, your feelings. He doesn't. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. He's not physical. He's not visible. You haven't seen the Holy Spirit. Nobody has seen the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they said it was as if. They're very careful in their wording. And he goes further here, he says, because they are spiritually discerned. Why is it that this natural, soulish, dominated man cannot be taught of the Holy Spirit? Because they are spiritually discerned. That means they are spiritually, these things the Holy Spirit's trying to teach you, they have to be spiritually scrutinized, investigated, determined, or examined. You have to, and notice the word spiritually, discern them. Spiritually, you have got to weigh these things up and listen to the Holy Spirit and compare them in the Bible to be taught. But the sensual man can't do that. He's trying to be taught through the soul realm. It can never happen. The only way you can be taught of the Holy Spirit is spiritually, by discerning what he is saying. If I hear a voice, I'm going to the Bible and I'll find out if it's the Holy Spirit teaching me or speaking to me. That's how I find out. We have to discern spiritually through the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Notice, this is how a genuine Christian, he has to be alive and born again. Your spirit has to be alive. If your spirit's dead, you can't be taught of the Holy Spirit. No sinner is taught of the Holy Spirit unless the Holy Spirit's teaching him that he's a sinner. But when you're born again, your spirit comes alive. Now you can be taught. Now the teaching starts. Now the Holy Spirit begins to teach you through a new spirit, an enlivened spirit. And it's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says in James 3:14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Saints, glory not if you find any envy or strife in your heart. Don't glory. Because if you're glorying, excusing it, or making it seem spiritual, oh, you have strife and envy in your heart, but you're trying to spiritualize it. And I've had people do this with me in a very real way, trying to put spiritual focus and say, this is spirituality. No, it's envy and strife. And Paul writes here, James writes here, lie not against the truth. If your heart's filled with bitter envy and strife, and you're trying to glory in it or say it's spiritual, you are lying against the truth. Stop your lying. I've had people before tell me about experience they're having. I said, well, either the Bible's wrong or you're wrong. Which is it? Now, who is it? Am I going to believe you or the Bible? Because what you're telling me that God has told you, it contradicts the Bible. Now, what is it? Is the Bible wrong here? Do we need to rewrite it? Did the Holy Spirit make a mistake? Are you more spiritually mature than this Bible and the Holy Spirit? Now, which is it? Many times I've said that. And notice James goes further here. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. But notice what it is. It is earthly. It's of this earth. It's not of God. It's not of heaven. Not of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, it's sensual. Just notice that word sensual. That's the same word we've just dealt with. The natural soulish man. He is saying there is a wisdom that is absolutely sensual. It's a wisdom of the soul realm. There's nothing spiritual about it. There is a wisdom that needs to be contended against. And it's a wisdom that says you can have envy and strife in your heart, but it's spiritual. You're a good Christian, but you've got this in you. He says this type of wisdom that tries to justify envy and strife in the heart, it is actually earthly. It is sensual. It's of the soul realm. And thirdly, it's devilish. So we see where it comes from. Any sort of so-called spiritual maturity that excuses envy and strife or some other sin, it is actually at best soulish or at worst devilish. Paul goes further, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But notice what the real wisdom of God is. How does it look? How do you know the real wisdom of God that's come to the Holy Spirit and that it's operating in a real Christian? How do you know? Because when we deal with wisdom, we're talking about judging and discerning. You can't judge without wisdom. What did Solomon say? He said, Lord, grant unto me a wise and an understanding heart to be able to judge and to discern amongst your people. So you need wisdom, spiritual wisdom to judge spiritually. If you only have carnal, soulish or devilish wisdom, you won't judge accurately. There's two realms of wisdom that enables you to judge. And there's many people in the church, they think they've got wisdom. But that wisdom, it is not from above, it's from below, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's of the soulish realm. You discern by sentiment, not by the Holy Spirit or the Scriptures. Paul goes further, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated. What if I meet somebody and they're not easily entreated, but they say, oh, I've got the wisdom of God. I'm using God's wisdom. I can't entreat you. I can't win you over. I can't persuade you by the Scripture. You don't even listen to me. That isn't God's wisdom. That is either sensual, soulish wisdom or else it's devilish. Now, which is it? And Paul and James, I'm determined this is Paul, but it is James. But James is laying out here the beautiful wisdom that comes from God. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and of good fruits without partiality. It doesn't take preference. It judges everything the same. It's a wisdom that weighs everything up without partiality or without prejudice and without hypocrisy. This is the true wisdom of God. Now notice again in Jude 1 verse 18. It speaks about certain ones that they told you and that the other apostles taught. They told you that there should be mockers in the last time. And don't think mockers are out there in the world. Not mockers who don't believe the gospel. Not mockers outside the church. He's talking about men who have been in the church. Who were in the church. Notice what it says. There shall come mockers in the last time. Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves. Sensual. Having not the Spirit. Now notice here for a minute that the mockers, who are the mockers? The word actually means people who deride. It means a false teacher. It means a scoffer or somebody who jeers or derides or democks, who mocks or who deludes. And it says in the last day, there's going to come mockers and they're going to pass through the church and they'll have saddened churches up and down our nations. Mockers. Now who are these mockers? They're actually false teachers and they are mocking spiritual things. I believe they're men who are absolutely carnal. They are mocking spiritual things or they are mocking biblical things. They are mocking spiritual people. Ever heard the statement, oh that one, they're too spiritual for their own good. Or you can be too heavenly minded for any earthly good. No you can't. The most practical people on the face of the planet or in this city tonight are the most heavenly minded. Those who live in heavenly places are going to be the most practical and they're going to be the one you want to talk to. I can assure you. They are the people with their feet solidly on the ground. That man who lives in a carnal, earthly realm, he's of no practical good, I can assure you. This is who the deriders are. They mock spirituality in the church. They undermine true spirituality in the church. They say, don't judge. Who are they? They're mockers. They are breaking up the ability to judge in the church or a state of maturity. They mock true spirituality, true preaching, true prayer. True evangelism, they mock it. But further than that, it says, it says here that they walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now the word lust means longings or desires. It doesn't mean lust as in lusting sexually. It doesn't mean that. It means they're driven by desires. They're compelled with longings. They are burdened. But notice what they're burdened for. It's ungodly things that dominate them. They're not spiritual desires. They're not godly desires. But the desires burning in them are for ungodly things. And it goes further in explaining who they are. It says they separate themselves. Separate themselves from who? From the real church, from real believers, from those who are spiritual, from those who are mature, from those who are biblical, from churches that just want God in the midst, from environments where the Holy Spirit is teaching people the Word of God. They separate themselves from that environment. The word separate means to disjoin or to part ways or to make a division. There are those in the church of our day and they want to separate from the real. They want to separate from true biblical teaching. Notice the next statement. It says they are sensual. This is the word we're dealing with. They live in the soul realm. They're actually controlled, moved. They make all their judgments, all their decisions by the soul realm. Since we're talking about people in the church. We're talking about people who go out from real churches or real ministry. And we're not saying that everyone who passes through a church is like that. They're not. But we're talking about people who rebel against the real teaching of the Holy Spirit because they don't want to be restrained by the Word of God or corrected biblically. And believe me, if someone doesn't want to be corrected biblically, there's something wrong in their heart. They are sensual. They are men or women who live by the soul realm. I'm a free spirit. I go where the Holy Spirit wants me. You hear it all over the church. I have heard it consistently for 20, 30 years. I've heard it everywhere in every country and every town I've ever been to. And in Limerick. It is here. I just get led of the Holy Spirit. Do you? Or is it your soul realm? Oh, well, I'm just going to make this decision in life. I'm faced with a decision. I think I need to do this. Now, you making that decision out of your renewed spirit or out of your soul realm, because it's very different. Is it heavenly wisdom that's involved, or is it earthly wisdom? Is it spiritual wisdom, or is it sensual wisdom? Is it devilish, or is it of the Holy Ghost? Everyone who uses the term Holy Spirit is not necessarily in line with the Bible. As soon as a man tells me, oh, but the Spirit told me, or the Spirit gives me freedom, I'm going to test that with the Bible. And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not the Holy Spirit. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they've had miracles to prove it. It's not the real Holy Spirit. This is how we judge saints of God. This is how we judge ourselves. There are sensual men who are going to become mockers in the last days. They're going to mock true spirituality, true biblical Christianity. But they're going to be sensual men. Men moved by the senses or the soul. Notice lastly what it says about them. Having not the Spirit. Notice, these sensual men do not have the Holy Spirit. This is Jude speaking in the early church. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Jude, saying there's going to come mockers undermining real biblical spirituality in the church. They mock it. They undermine it. They don't like it. They rebel against it. They separate from it. They live by the soul realm. But they think they have the Holy Spirit. But Jude is saying they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're soulish and they do not have the Holy Spirit. If they had the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't act like that. They could not act like that. But here's men who are convinced they're being moved. But I've had a vision. I've had a prophecy. I've had a word. I've had a manifestation. I know this is the Holy Spirit. And I know I'm spiritual. No, you're soulish. Because it contradicts what the written word of God says. Now, I've dealt with in part, the natural man is an unsaved man. And we have lessons there. But let's move to chapter 3 before we close. In chapter 3, we see the saved men. In the church at Corinth, Paul not only speaks about those who are spiritual. They've learned to live by the Spirit. They know how to judge by the Spirit. They have spiritual wisdom, and they know how to judge all things and ministries by the Spirit. Or by the Scriptures. They are mature. But Paul notices, mentions something else here in chapter 3. He speaks about those who are carnal. In the church at Corinth. Notice that. He calls them carnal or carnal men. And he speaks about them three times here. In verse 1, verse 3, verse 5. He calls them carnal men, but it's a different word. And it's actually the word sarkikos. And it means that which pertains to the flesh or the natural body. Here are Christians in the first century. They're in a Spirit-filled church. A church where there's real miracles, real preaching. A church birthed out of genuine revival. A church that got raised up by Paul the Apostle. But look at them. Paul, in writing to them, he actually says, you're not spiritual, you are carnal. Speaking of believers in the church, he actually says, you are carnal, or you are those that are affected, are influenced, are moved by those things that pertain to the flesh. He's saying you're soulish, you're living by the soul realm. You're Christians. This is the soulish man in the church. This is born again believers who live by the soul realm. And I believe this is one of the greatest problems in the church. There are soulish Christians and there are spiritual Christians. There are Christians living by their renewed spirit, led of the Holy Spirit. And there's others who are living by the soul realm. And the mark of maturity is that you will move from being dominated by the soul to being dominated by the Spirit. This is the growth of maturity again. Not only moving from milk to strong meat, but now you're moving from being soulish to being spiritual. This is a growth, saints of God, and it doesn't happen in 1 hour. And the great mark of it is that you learn how to judge spiritually. Is your judgment that you have judged in the past year, during the time that we have been teaching this, and in the year to come, is your judgment soulish? Oh, but I know it is. I know it's spiritual. Do you? Test it with the Scripture. Test it thoroughly with the Scripture. Is it soulish or is it spiritual? Can a genuine Christian judge by the soul realm? Can he judge by the sense realm and be wrong? Yes, because if you judge by the soul realm, you'll be wrong. But if you judge by the spirit, you will be right. There's a growth here that Paul is dealing with. Notice what he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Here's the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Paul speaking goes alongside the Holy Spirit teaching, and you comparing scripture with scripture. But Paul says, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. So you speak differently to a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. There's things a spiritual Christian will hear and can take on board that a carnal Christian cannot. Or if I'm talking to two Christians, they're both saved, both born again, I tell them the same thing, I give them the same wisdom, one can receive it and one can't. Now it doesn't mean they're not saved. It does mean that they're carnal, they're living by the soul realm. They cannot receive biblical teaching. They actually reject it as the word of man. And Paul is saying here, I could not speak unto you as on the spiritual. Carnality does hinder the teaching of the Holy Spirit. If you are carnal, or you're immature, or you're a babe in Christ, that hinders God speaking to you, or God teaching you, or the Holy Spirit teaching you. Who you are affects how the Holy Spirit teaches you. He'll teach you on a different level. He goes further and calls them carnal. And who are these carnal? They are babes in Christ. They are in Christ. Don't think because we mess up in judging or that we are very dominated by the soul realm in our judgment that we're not saved or that the Holy Spirit isn't in us. No, you are in Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you. But you haven't learnt to allow him to control and to lead you. You have not allowed him to teach you, or you haven't learnt all that he wants to teach you. Notice here that these carnal Christians are babes in Christ, but I was saved 40 years. But I've got all of these experience, but I've got all of this knowledge, but I could tell you things, young skipper, young whippersnapper, I could tell you a few things. You're only saved a year. I've been 40 years on the road. Yes, but are you carnal or are you spiritual? I don't care if you're saved 40 years. I don't care if you're saved a week. Do you judge spiritually or carnally? Are you a carnal Christian who most of what you do as a Christian is controlled by the soul realm or selfish ambition or pride? Or is it spiritual? You're free from prejudice. And believe me, when the Spirit of God works in the heart, you can be absolutely free from every prejudice in your life. Absolutely. He says about these babes, they're fed with milk, not meat. How do you discern a babe? By their food. Show me a Christian what they're reading, what they're watching on the God channel. I'll tell you what they're like. Because what you eat is what you become. It does things. How you deal with the Word of God, how you feed yourself with this Bible, your ability to compare spiritual things. I will discern your spirituality. I'll tell you where you're at. Your attitude to the Word of God, or how you live out the decisions of life, how you judge people around you. I'll tell you where you are spiritually. You tell me how you judge a person beside you, and I'll tell you where you are spiritually. And you know what? You can tell where you are spiritually. How you judge everything around you, going on around you, or even how you judge your own spiritual state. But I can't feel them. There's something wrong. When you mature, that doesn't scare you. You say, well, I'm just trusting the Lord. The Bible hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. I still love him. God hasn't died. He hasn't left me. But I've met young believers, more immature. I mean sincere, absolutely sold out for God. But they haven't grown in God. And you know what? I've met three of them that thought they were Judas. They thought that sin, the unforgivable sin. And I'm telling them, and I'm saying, so you don't love him? Oh, I do love him. So you don't want him? Oh, I do want him. So you're willing to sell him for 30 bits of silver? No, I wouldn't do that. But they think they've committed Judas's sin. That's their spiritual condition. They cannot discern where they are spiritually. They're very sincere. They're really born again. But they can't even discern where they are with God. And it's only as they grow, they come to know, I know exactly where I am. I know when I walk into a prayer meeting and I'm feeling a thousand things and I go, that's Keith. Or maybe I walk in the meeting and I go, that's the Spirit of God. If you don't know or you haven't learned how to judge yourself, you still have to grow. A babe doesn't know how to discern themselves, never mind others. They don't know how to discern their own spiritual condition or how to respond. A little trial will send them almost out the back door. If you're not careful, they fall out the back door. You need to go get them and say, now what's going on? It's because they're dominated by the soul realm. Carnal Christians or immature Christians are dominated by the soul. And notice what he goes further, not only talking about how they eat, but it says how they act, what's in their heart will reveal if they're carnal or spiritual. He says there is among you, and this is how Paul knows they're carnal. He's saying, you're carnal. What a letter to get from Paul, eh? The church he's raised up. Imagine if I get into the pulpit on Sunday and I stand up and I said, do you know what? From top to bottom, inside out, the bunch of you, the whole lot of you are carnal. What if I got up and said that my opening statement Sunday morning? Some of you go, well, just close my Bible. That's what's the point of hanging around? I'm sure we'll have a great agape meal that lunchtime, won't we? Keith just thinks we're all a bunch of carnal babes. Well, Paul wrote this to a church that was moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and seeing miracles and seeing people born again. And he says, you are carnal. Paul, how could you say that? How do you know they're carnal? Listen to what he says. He says, because among you there's envy and strife and division. What is envy? It means jealousy or you're burning. There's a burning in your heart against your brother. There's something burning in you. That's how I knew they're carnal. They were in competition with others. That's what envying is. It's in you. But it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Can a Christian have envy in their heart? Yes. Can they burn in the midst of their brothers? Yes. It is in the church. But he says it shows carnality. You're not spiritual, you're carnal. Second, he says there's strife. That means to wrangle or to quarrel or to debate. You see believers sitting together and they're debating, they're arguing, they're fighting. They're quarreling. And we're not talking about a one-off or once every 6 months. We're not talking about that. I mean, they're quarreling. There's a tendency to quarrel, always in debates. You are carnal. You are immature. Thirdly, divisions. What are divisions? You split. Show me two Christians that have split. Carnality is involved. Two mature Christians wouldn't do that. Carnality is involved. That has caused the division. And he says, where all of these are, ye are carnal and ye walk as men. You are walking as natural men. For while one saith, I am of Paul. And look, this is where is based around. While I am of Paul and another, I am of Apollos. Ye are carnal. They're in the same church. These are two preachers in the same church. Apollos and Paul. Both of them are real men of God. Both of them are men who love the word. Both of them are sent of God. But here's the church saying, well, I like Apollos and I like Paul. Or look back at chapter 1 of this book. In chapter 1 and verse 11. At the end of verse 11, Paul talks about contentions among you. And then in verse 12, he explains what the contentions are. In verse 12, now I say that every one of you saith. Everybody's got an opinion, don't they? Like belly buttons. Everybody's got an opinion. Here, your belly button ain't special. I've got one as well. Everybody's got an opinion on everything. You carnal Christianity is marked by that. They don't stop and say, I don't know all the facts. Or I don't know that person. Or I don't know their heart. Or maybe I need to check this out with scripture. They're not governed like that. They actually have opinions about everything. I think they should have. Carnal Christians have given me more advice than anybody else in my entire life. The spiritual ones, you need to draw it out of them. But Paul is saying here, now notice this, because I want you to notice this point. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, who is Peter, and I am of Christ. Here's four camps. Apollos, Paul, Peter, and the really spiritual ones say, We don't follow man, we follow Christ. Oh, it's not about those three preachers. We just trust Christ. God will teach me, the Holy Spirit will teach me. All right, you're so spiritual, you don't need to be like the rest of us. The Holy Spirit personally teaches you at home, I understand. And Paul is saying here, how do I know you're carnal? Because you're dividing up in your sin. Well, I'm a Paul. Why? He's more, he doesn't raise his voice. And I wish, I do try, you know. Paul, he's very methodical. He'll go on for 3 hours, at least minimum. Now, Paulus, he is profound in the scripture. He is eloquent in his gifting. I mean, he is an eloquent, one of the most eloquent preachers of the New Testament. But Paul's more of a teacher. I love the way he opens up the scriptures. Apollos, I love his eloquence. That's the anointing. Unless you sweat or strain yourself, you're not anointed. Paul, he can't be anointed. He just stands there. He doesn't even move from behind the pulpit. He can't. That's not the anointing. I'm telling you how the church judges ministry and how it divides. It doesn't judge and say, that's a heretic and this is a man of truth. Oh no, even about the real preacher. Well, I like him. And then what about Peter? Well, he just takes one scripture out of the text. He's the rugged fisherman. And he just takes out one scripture and he just preaches with a zeal, a power. Don't need to think about it, not deep teaching. He just preaches that scripture. That one scripture, I take it home with me. And he actually has three little points under it. Makes it nice and simple. I love Peter. And he finishes in 20 minutes. But he is a real preacher. Oh, I don't like Peter because he preaches for 20 minutes. Doesn't teach enough. Do you know what that is? That's carnality. That's how I judge carnality in the church. That's how you can judge yourself. How do you judge ministry? Do you say this is a man of God? He stands there quiet, timidly, reading methodically, monotonously the message. Is he less spiritual? Do we judge him in a way with our thinking, with our feelings? God help us. We need to go on and be mature. Now notice what he says as we close. But he that is spiritual judges all things. He's comparing this with the carnal Christians in Corinth. And he's saying, he that is spiritual judges all things. Or he that is spiritually mature has the ability. He has grown to a place where he knows how to judge everything accurately. He won't judge those ministers wrongly. He won't be in strife and division with his brother because he's dealt with his own heart. He's judging himself. He's not soulish. He is spiritual. He compares everything with scripture. And how does the Holy Spirit teach him? Things are revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit searches out all things. Or the deep things of God. This is the mark of a spiritually mature Christian. He judges all things. Anybody who tells you don't judge or not to judge, they're carnal at best. They don't know how to compare scripture. If they've been on the road or they're a preacher, why don't they know what the Bible says concerning judging your brother? Or how to judge, or go to your brother, or to rebuke your brother if you love him? Why don't they know that? Why don't they operate in it? Because Paul says, they that are spiritual judge all things. They know how to judge all things. They know everything we've covered in the past 2 months. They put it into operation. The spiritual man not only knows intellectually, he puts it into operation. I know how to judge myself. I know how not to judge my brother and how to judge my brother. I'm judging my brother spiritually by the word of God in the spirit realm through the Holy Spirit. And he goes further, verse 15. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Paul is saying the spiritual man is judged of no man. He judges everything, but he's not judged of anybody. That's some statement. He is sitting in judgment of everybody. And I want to tell you, I'm judging all of you in this meeting tonight. Is that okay? And you know what? I should hope you're judging my message tonight. Because we're allowed to. And this doesn't create division, it creates unity. And protection. And spirituality. and allows genuine love to prosper in the midst. I'm going to look after your back. I'm not going to make a display of you. I'm not going to expose you. I'm going to go to you and speak to you. I'm going to cover your back. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to help you. That's spirituality. That isn't carnality. And he says, but a spiritual man is judged of no man. What does that mean? It means that the carnal babes, the sensual, the man who's soulish, can't judge you. You judge everything spiritually, but they cannot judge you. Or they don't accurately judge you. They're soulish. They're misjudging you. You're not judged of any man. He means they don't have the ability to judge you. Or they misunderstand you. Have you ever been misunderstood? Ever had someone misunderstood? And you know that they misunderstand the situation, or they misunderstand you, and you'll never convince them otherwise. Who here likes to be misunderstood? When you know your heart, but you can't convince them. It's terrible, isn't it? Be careful of doing that of anyone else then. There's nothing as bad as being misunderstood. Paul says, no man judges or has the ability, carnality, soulish, Christianity cannot judge a spiritual man. It doesn't know how to, or it misunderstands him. Him operating spiritually, they say he's a rebel. I've already this week got told that I don't love somebody. I love them more than anybody in this room. And they sat with me and said, you don't love me. Do you know what? I do love them. I did love them. I will love them. It's just they don't know how to discern that. They don't know how to judge it. They don't know how to test it. It's real, saints of God. Paul says the spiritual man is judged of no man. He also says in chapter 4, verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Is he callous? Is he being callous? Paul is standing in the church of Corinth saying, it is a very small thing if you judge me. You're misunderstanding me. You're judging me wrongly. You're judging me carnally. You're judging me with the soul or the flesh. And he says, it's a very little thing to me. It doesn't affect me. I don't let it get in on me. And he also calls it man's judgment. It's not God's judgment. It's man's judgment. They are using man's judgment to judge Paul. They don't know how to judge him accurately. They're not doing it biblically. Are they a good one? Or they would discern that he is spiritual and teaching them, and the Holy Ghost is teaching them. They would discern that. And Paul is saying, their judgment is man's judgment, but it's not spiritual judgment. And you know what? When I know they're judging me carnally with the soul realm and not with the Bible, it's of little consequence. But if they were to bring the Word of God to me, that's very weighty. And saints of God, if you ever bring the Word of God to me or point something out in my life, that is very weighty. I'm taking that serious. But if you come and misjudge me, or you're carnal in your judgment, it's of a little thing to me. I have to be like Paul. I will allow any man to challenge me, or to test me, or to correct me. Any man, even a new believer. But it better be spiritual, and it better be right. And it better come out of a sincere heart. Because I've got the right to test how you would judge me. I've got the right to, just like you have. I can judge you, but you can test that with the scriptures. And he says, yea, I judge not mine own self. So here's a judgment. Paul says, your judgment of me, it's of nothing. I don't even judge myself like that. What did he mean? He says, the way you're judging, I don't even judge myself like that. How you're judging me with the eye. You're judging my motives. You're judging without even speaking to me. You don't even know the full spectrum. You only know a couple of facts, or you're going by some incident. And Paul says, I don't even judge myself like that. And he says, if you judge me like that, it's of no consequence. There's no weight in it. He that is spiritual judges all things. Let's stand.